another episode of Data for Future. According to Statistica, about 25% of the employees of the big tech companies are female, of which only 20% of the leadership positions are held by female. Viewing this huge gender gap, we are shifting our gear to the All Women Campus today to see a group of ambitious women taking the initiative to empower and reshape the landscape of female in the world of leadership and technology. So today we have the co-founder and CEO of All Women, Laura, here, and the lead instructor, Lydia, in the show with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tammy. Super great introduction.
So to start with, why don't we introduce to our audience a little bit about All Women? Why? What inspired you to start the project, the company, the school, and what inspired you to join the initiative, the mission?
Right. So there is a very small trigger, but very significant. So with my co-founder, 4 years ago, we went to a tech conference and there were like zero female speakers, zero. And we were like super mad. I was about to say, you know, bad words. And we were super mad and we said we have to do something about it. That was kind of like the trigger. So we decided to do a little test and we did a workshop, like 2 days workshop about how to build a chatbot only with women and a female instructor. And the experience was valuable and interesting. And from there, we decided to, you know, go on and start building All Women.
And well, about me, well, I'm a chemist, so I'm not like a software or an engineer or whatever. So I did a shift career also, like during my first stages of my professional life. And well, by that time, I was working by a multinational company. And okay, it's nice to work by a multinational company, but I always, well, during my like professional experience, I always observed that, well, well, I would say 80% of my colleagues were males. So that's one fact that I already knew it and I was like aware about that. So when I heard like All Women and Laura and so on, I was like, okay, I mean, we need more women in the tech field because that was one thing that I was feeling and I was really like into it, no? So that's why I decided to join. Also because of that, no? Because not only of the women that maybe are not as present as they should be, but because I was doing also a career shift. So I'm a chemist, I didn't know anything about programming when I finished my degree, so I knew it that everybody could do it and could join, let's say, the tech field. And that's one of the main reasons in which I joined All Women.
Cool. Then after 4 years of preparation, iteration, what is on the curriculum of All Women now? What fields of tech are you touching?
So we're touching like several fields. So we started with data science. That was our like main goal, since when you look at technology, we know that there is a gap between male and women, but also when we were looking into AI and data, this gap was even bigger. So we decided to start by tackling the data science field. And this is true that after that, we incorporate more technologies as a web development, product management, and UX UI design. But our first and core technologies, let's say, was data science at the very beginning.
Cool. So with all these curriculums, are they a long-term projects, classes, or they are more short-term, more intense focused?
Well, they are more intense because those are like boot camps. So within 10, 24 weeks, depending on the course that you are like joining or doing, well, you can learn the skills. And the good thing about that is that it's really hands-on practice and it doesn't require any kind of technical requirement, no? Because in some places or in some masters or even like degrees and so on, they ask you to have some mathematical background or some tech background. And here it's, let's say, open to every woman because of that, no? And that's basically the main essence of these kind of bootcamps, that within a really short time, you can be a really good professional. And also, it's really nice because, well, it's not only learning a new skill linked to the tech field, but also it's, well, all the different students that we have, they merge in a really nice way their own professional and soft skills, and they upskill something, you know? And that makes them super unique. and super special, you know? So knowing a lot of business and also knowing data science, for instance, no? So they, because, for instance, people that come from the technical fields, they, sometimes they are really technical and they know the business, they don't know the business part, no? And that's what make also like them really special, let's say.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important part because one of the hottest topic nowadays is how to shift, transition my career into data. And looking at the options on the table, there are people are considering, should I go to a master or should I go to a bootcamp? What's the difference? And as you mentioned, exactly, it's like, it's a more intense program, but it's very hands-on. In this case, people learn what it's like to practice while they're at school already. On the other side, when you mentioned people come into the school with very diverse backgrounds, what are their student profile like? Where do they come from other than business?
So I would say I had some numbers because I was analyzing that data like some months ago, and we have like 20% that are coming from engineering. So maybe software engineer or electrical engineering or industrial engineering, about 18% approximately they are coming from business, but we have also a really big percentage that it's like 10% that it's they are coming from marketing and communication and also linguistics. Mm-hmm. So one really like far field from the tech, let's say linguistics, somebody that has studied linguistics or even humanities, well, it's really far, not from maths or science and so on. So that's more or less the average. We have engineers and similarly, business, marketing, and linguistics as well.
And does certain background help? Like, do students coming from certain background get on easier than the others?
Yeah, for instance, there is one module in the data science course that it's natural language processing that seeks to deal with text and so on. And I could have seen that the different women that are coming from a linguistic background, they are like really good in that field because they know how to like deal with text, with Python and different algorithms, but also they are including, you know, their own skills in terms of linguistics and so on, no? So yes, the answer is yes.
So it seems that you have a very diverse group of female composing the campus. How is it like the dynamic on the campus day to day? Because it's a female instructed campus and only female students, no?
So we wanted to create this safe space for us. So as you mentioned at the very beginning, so the tech sector is very male dominated, but also the tech training is very male dominated, mm-hmm. right? So it's very easy to think of yourself, I'm going to fit here. Should I ask this question? What is going to think people about me? And so we wanted to have, for us to have like female instructors, it's like super important because they are like the role models of our students. So they have done this career path in this like a specific industry. So for us, that's like super, super important. And not only that, those women are female role models, but are also professionals that are working in the tech industry. So, so our students, they are building a network, a professional network that it would help them, you know, after the bootcamp and as well, you know, among their peers, among the students. So I think, in history, like male, they have done very well. They have worked very well their networks. And that's why, you know, the system we live in is like built by them. And I think it's now time for us to build our own networks of influence and help and collaboration. So by creating that safe space, we try to overcome those stereotypes, but also to tight, you know, a strong community and network that is gonna, you know, help us later on in our career.
Mm-hmm. I remember about a few years ago, I was at one of the all-women inauguration events at Imagine Cafe, seeing a room full of women who are very interested, like curious to see what's behind the door of technology, data science, and cheering for the fact that we finally have a place to really grow our knowledge and find a community and a safe place, no? But on the other side, it's also true that when we're talking about women empowerment, people always say it's very important to involve male in the process. And by only limiting the teacher and student into female, do you think we are missing some aspect of, I don't know, involving male, the other side of the gender into the picture?
Mm-hmm. I think male are involved, you know, anyways. So we just create, as you know, a parenthesis, a space where all these like stereotypes and bias that we have like assumed and that we have grown with, they don't exist, you know, for a period of time, short, you know, in your day, because then you will go to work, you will go to life, and, you know, and then there is like social dynamics that are already set up. But we want to create, you know, that space to be able to grow. And then once you're ready, then it's time for you to fly. So for us, in the learning environment, it's very important that it's this way. But of course, later we collaborate with companies. We do many of events. We do like many of things that are, you know, outside the learning space. And here everyone is welcome. Everyone is involved. But I think we need to, you know, separate and have our own spaces for specific things, because we haven't had those spaces before.
Mm-hmm. Sure, totally. That's why it's one of the very first all-women campus, no? And on the other side, I'm curious, since we're only focusing on female, do you have any trouble selecting, for example, the professor source, or when your students are graduating, to deliver them into the workforce, to introduce them to different companies? Is that somehow much easier or more difficult?
I think because in that moment we try to, you know, empower them, connect them to other women that are in the industry. So I think then you just go like more prepared, more feeling like secure about yourself, and then you go. So I don't think it's making any, you know, negative impact. Like, I think it's more the other way around.
Uh-huh. Cool. I know many companies nowadays are very aware of the gender gap they are having is in their all employee, especially on the leadership position. So they reach out specifically to hire more diverse employees. Do you find special venues? People contact you, companies contact you for the special properties we have? It's all female.
So here there is a gap. Like, of course, as a company, you want to be more diverse, because now is the trend, and now soon it will be lost, that is going to force you to be more diverse in all the different levels of the company. And yes, they approach us, but then, you know, then the reality is another one, because then they want, like, I know I don't want junior people. I want, like, super senior, prepared women. It's like, well, you know, we have a problem of pipeline. We know that, and we are training them for you to incorporate them. So you should just, you know, bring a door, bring an opportunity, and then they will grow like fast. Yeah. But we have this problem of, yes, we want to be diverse, but I don't want to risk that. And we are doing, like, you know, a lot of conversation with them to try to make them understand, like, so those women, maybe they are junior in, let's say, in data science, but they are professional women. These women, she is a lawyer, she is a marketing expert. They have like 10 years of, you know, professional experience. So they are not junior, like working. They are junior understanding Python or analyzing data. So yeah, I think companies, they should be much more open to see the potential of these profiles, and not just going through an algorithm, say, she's not checking that box. Oh, we cannot be diverse. There is no women out there. It's like, there are. You just need to be open-minded, right? Yeah, I'm upset about this topic.
Yeah. No, that's exactly why we should enforce it here. Actually, many conversations around companies are about this now, because a lot of people are transitioning into data from various careers to start. They have 0 years of experience. But if you look at the job description for many junior profiles, they require at least 1 or 2 years of experience, which is quite ridiculous. And actually, just to reinforce your point, I have many junior analysts on my team that I grew them from zero. I have to say, people coming from diverse backgrounds, they really get hand of the business side really fast, and they contribute in a much more flexible and diverse way to the company. And I do think tech leaders also need to, as you said, pay attention to spending the time to nurture your talent instead of finding out a junior position and looking for someone with 2-3 years experience. Then, for how many alumni are there for all women?
Well, now they are almost 300.
300, and I bet a lot of them are like years into the workforce. When they enter the technical world or the leadership circle, do they also come back to report to you how they are jumping out of from this all-women circle into a real world where male force also dominate again the world?
You want to talk about
that? Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, they are, well, for me, it's super like the complete circle or the complete cycle is not only like giving them the tips or like allowing them to code or to be critical and so on and to be secure, blah, blah, blah. But it's also like finding a job that really satisfies everything and so on, no? And whenever they are like looking, well, they are looking for a job, maybe they are looking for some kind of advice just to talk because it's not, like, okay, I'm the instructor and that's all. No, we create some kind of boundaries too, no? And sometimes they want to share their feelings and so on. And whenever they found a job, always they are all sending me a Slack message or even a mail and so on. So for me, it's super, like, no sé,
yeah,
I'm super proud, you know what I mean? Super proud because it's like, okay, yes, I believe in that. It's not a question of, okay, I'm studying and that's all, no? And also some of them, one pretty cool thing is that they are upskilling their skills. So maybe they are managers and they want, you know, to know more about data and so on, because normally they like hire somebody to do the analysis and so on, but they want to dive into it. And also, well, they are incorporating also the new skills that they are learning during the courses into their current jobs, and it's something really amazing to know as well. Mm-hmm. And that's well,
super good to know. And as you said, not only I really admire that aspect of all women, you're not only focusing a pipeline of study and out, you are building a lot of network and events around the whole campus. And among the many events, I'd like to maybe you can introduce to the audience what kind of initiatives, events are you hosting mostly and what are the topics you're focusing on?
Yeah, so we try to host, we host events every week, basically. But so we realized at the very beginning that it was like a super, like at the beginning it was in person, no? It was a very cool way to build a community and, you know, get to know each other in Barcelona because we were starting. So let's meet, you know, all the women that are in Barcelona, like working in tech. And we realized that it was like super powerful to meet new people and to learn new things, right? And it is true that the pandemic arrived and then we move everything to remote, and here like something amazing also happened, like borders disappear for us. So before we were like, you know, just hosting events in Barcelona, and all of a sudden we were, you know, co-hosting an event with people in London, with people in Berlin, with attendees from all over the world, and it was like, wow, you know. So now a little bit like what we follow when we create those events. So every quarter at least we have 5 to 8 master classes in very specific topics. So a little bit to break with these like fears of what does it mean to start coding or what does it mean to analyze data, right? So it's a very practical and hands-on, yeah, masterclass where, for instance, Idoya teach, you know, some analysis and she's doing it live so people can see, you know, what it takes to do something like that. Another events are more focused on like soft skills. So maybe we will talk about, imposter syndrome or how to, you know, ask for a raise or stuff like that. That is also like very important within the professional world. Mm-hmm. And then we have our like biggest event of the year, which is She Startup. And we do it like once per year. We used to do it in person. Now it's remote since last year. And here we have like cool tech startups from Europe talking about a specific cool technology they do at their job. And also there is like speed dating with attendees and everything. So in our remote event last year, we had like 500 people in that event connected. And it was like, you know, super, super interesting and super, it's fun as well. Uh-huh.
Is the course now also remote?
Yes, we're doing everything remote, and so people are able to join and come here if they want, if they are in Barcelona, but the class is connected, let's say. So okay. We have students that are in Berlin, London, Italy, and others that are in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. I think, so that pandemic thing, it was like an opening eye thing for us, because we were doing everything in person in Barcelona, and all of a sudden we were, you know, like having students from other parts of the world. And this year, I think like 50% is like women based in Barcelona, very international, but based in Barcelona, and the other 50 are in other parts of the world. And this is like super rich for the class, for the students, and for the community.
Yeah, so it's like a hybrid model. It seems that you've been transitioning pretty well with all the Black Swan events happening. What are some challenges you're facing right now?
Oh, we're always transitioning. I think the challenge is going to be like understand this new way of living and working, that is this, you know, remote philosophy way of doing things, but at the same time not losing, you know, like humanity, human connection, yeah. And stuff like that. So here I think is the challenge. Also another challenge for us is going to be to grow and scale, since, you know, still today, like we need to do a lot of like education. I don't know if I like that work, but it's still like many women feel like this is not for me. I'm not able to do this. So we need to, you know, do a lot of like advocacy, let's say, and awareness about the topic, and also do this awareness with companies, so they finally, you know, understand that they need to hire juniors. There are not juniors, actually. And so, yeah, like doing this impact and growth at the same time, yeah. Like playing with all the stakeholders and having in consideration that now we live remote, but we are still human. So,
yeah.
You know, pretty big challenge.
Yeah, any change doesn't come easy, especially while the social standard has been long biased. Then what about I'm sure you also achieved so many things while pivoting through all the challenges. What is something you are most proud of so far?
So I think what I'm most proud of is the community we have built in these 3 years. So we are talking about, like, I think more than 50,000 women that are, you know, connected to different levels, you know, but they are connected to all women. And I think that's the most, you know, like, proud challenge that I am. And also I think this is a challenge that I'm also proud of. It's like we have bootstrapped all women. So we put like 3,000 euros and we have grown it and built that. So I'm very proud of this as well, I have to say.
As a business founder, that's a very, very impressive progress.
Where are you?
Well, from me, to see that everybody can, let's say, code or implement everything and so on. So it doesn't, I mean, if you are willing to do it, and if you are like kind of like motivated and so on, and also to see that all the students are like slow, well, are like getting into like tech positions in data science or data analyst, etc. For me, it's one of the most, biggest challenges, no, that I've achieved, let's say, as an instructor, to see the baby techs, because I call them baby techs, grow. And for me, growing them, it's like they have a position and they are like really valuable, and they, you know, they do it and it's fine, you know, and they don't have any kind of fear, no? They know that they can do whatever. So they have to scrape something. Okay, I can do it. So it's not like at the very beginning or the first day of class, they were like, oh, yeah. In the end, they are like, okay, I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter if I'm going to spend like 2 months or 1 week, but I'm going to do it and I know that I can do it. And this is, for me, it's also one of the things that I'm more proud about, yeah. It, you know?
I think that's also another beautiful aspect of boot camps or short-term intensive courses, is you don't have time to teach holding hand on, learn everything for the students. What you're teaching instead is a methodology about how to find the right question to ask and then identify the tool and the answers fast. So that's a very, very cool aspect. And looking forward, what is the goal? Where do you see all women to be in 3-5 years? How do you define your future success?
So right now we are working on that, what is going to be our plan for the next 5 years. So we have like a number, like we want to impact like 20,000 women in technology, not only impact, but to put them, you know, into the tech field. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be our major goal and roadmap for the next 5 years.
Okay.
20,000 women in the tech sector.
The community is growing much bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
Nice. So if people want to get into the field, is there any requirement about their background and anything?
So we always do a personal interview to, you know, understand what are the expectations of this person, how this is organized, the course is organized, and the output, and how is the learning experience, and everything, to see if there is not a miscommunication and there is a match. And then we always do a technical assessment, we call it, but actually this is a self-assessment. Is to see if you enjoy, you know, yourself, like doing that thing that you've never done in your life, and you have 1 week to do it, to test yourself if you like to do it. We don't expect you to do it like amazingly and to know to do it the first day. Mm-hmm. We just want to you to test yourself if you enjoy, you know, looking for the answers and try to find a result in data or web development or whatever, and then we correct it. But it's not even a correction, it's a feedback. You know, is to explain and see. Uh-huh. And then there is a pre-work that always help them, you know, to start with the right, you know, mindset. And that's it.
Interesting. That does indeed open the door for many people who want to transition, but they really don't have any experience.
Yeah.
Cool. Is there anything else you would like to add before we end the interview? How do people get in touch with the school or with you?
So, yeah, we do, we mentioned, but we do like many of the events and masterclasses, and they are all recorded in Crowdcast. So if you feel like, I would like to learn a little bit about data, go to Crowdcast, look for women, and you will see listed all the events. And then, well, there is our website, allwomen.tech. Mm-hmm. And we're always there, you know, to have a conversation with anyone interested in having it.
Awesome. So with that being said, I'm very happy to be able to introduce such a cool project that I've been always following to our audience. And thank you very much for introducing All Women. And hopefully with this episode, we can inspire more people who are hesitant to go into the field to check more information and take a step forward to join the tech community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tamara.
Data for Future. We'll see you next time.